Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. If you're new to my show, you can head over to the show blog. Every show I have ever done here at KUCI is right there for you to see, even the ones in the pandemic on Zoom when I was not very good at Zoom. Anyway, hope your week is off to a great start. And I want to fill you in on a couple things before I bring on my first guest. I want to give you an update. A couple weeks ago, I had LA Strong Foundation on, and now they have simplified how to contact over 100 organizations who are receiving grants from the LA Fires concerts. So I have all the information about what you need to know on the show blog. Again, that's getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. There's a list of those who received the grant money from January 30th at the Kia Forum, and there's a link, and there's a lot of details about all the grantees. So again, just head over to the show blog, and you can find out more information about that. If you do want to find out about being a guest, or you know someone who has an inspiring story, I feature a variety of guests from people in film and music and acting, everything, authors, health and wellness experts. Just send me an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at KUCI.org. Okay, so standing by to kick off the show is Andre Roberson. He's founder and CEO of Power of One Foundation. And I'm really excited to have him join us. They have an exciting initiative going on called the Kids First Campaign, Restoring Smiles for the Youngest Impacted by the LA Wildfires. And he is joining us now. Good morning, Andre.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So I want to, before you tell me what you're currently doing, I know, I believe you founded Power of One Foundation, what, 15 years ago? Is that right?
Power One Foundation was founded in 2019, but my other foundation, Official No One Left Behind, was founded 15 years ago.
Okay. And so what led up to Power of One, and tell us about it?
What led up to Power of One? A song.
Okay.
I'm a music artist, and I wrote a song called Power of One years ago. And my mom was like, you know, you have something with that. You need to do something with that. You need to make something happen. And so when we were doing Official No One Left Behind, we were concentrating on food insecurity in a localized area in Santa Ana.
Okay.
And I really wanted to grow out. So that's where I started Power of One with my now wife, Shawnee.
Mm-hmm.
And we started Power of One, and our years of experience caught up to us right when 2020 happened, because it started in 2019 and we were getting ready to work on international aid, continued food insecurity.
Great.
But then the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
So then all of our experience over the years put us in a unique place to be able to be one of your premier food distributors. During that time, we were able to feed 3 million people 2020 to 2021.
Whoa.
So we saw a whole lot of miracles happen. And so that really ignited our hearts and our passion.
Beautiful.
For the work that we do.
Beautiful. That's a huge number, Andre.
Yeah, you know, we don't know how to explain it, but between the donations that came in, because we were like, how do we do this? We don't know. And we mm-hmm. were one of your first people to do drive-through distribution. So we were doing like 10 to 15 distributions a week. We had distributions going on at the Orange County Fairgrounds. We had distributions at Main Place Mall. We had partnered with IKEA.
Mm-hmm.
IKEA did all of our curbside, because I came up with curbside drive-throughs.
That's
for
great.
Stores and different things. So I would go and drop the food off at IKEA, and all of their staff would pass it out.
That's great.
We have distributions going on in San Diego, Los Angeles. So it was all these pockets of miracles happening. We partnered with so many foundations to help be in so many areas to fulfill the need. And God just kept growing it, kept growing it, kept
Beautiful.
Growing it.
Beautiful.
And and we fell in love with it even more, because we were like, okay, this is not us. This is bigger than us.
Yes.
But we're at the right place at the right time.
And also you're inspiring people to do purpose-driven, meaningful work to help one another, and we want that. Especially now.
Yes, and that was another beautiful part about it, because, you know, people are out here getting sick with COVID and different things, and here we are doing weekly distributions with over 100 volunteers, mm-hmm. and no one's getting COVID, but we're out here helping people. And there were people that said, wow, and these are people that live in pretty affluent areas. They're like, wow, I wouldn't have never did anything like this had life not slowed me down. And they're like, this is amazing. Like, I will do this even after the pandemic's over.
Good.
I'm going to continue.
That's good. And look what you did. You inspired that. I know we haven't met formally, but I want to share a quick little story with you, and then I want to dive into what you have going on. So I had an experience with a local donut shop. I'm not going to mention it, but some of the employees were really upset. One in particular, how they were throwing out food at the end of the day, and it was hundreds of items, hundreds. So I would go and collect them. And I found about six places throughout Orange County, and I started distributing all this excess food. It was so much food. And Micah's Way, and I think there was, there was a shelter in Anaheim. I know there was some issue with shutting it down, but there were all these different places I had never heard of. And this opened up my eyes to me being the power of one, you know, the little engine that could, and going out there and dropping off those donuts and those bagels. And so it's important to do something.
It is. And, you know, you don't, you know, like you said, you started with one restaurant, ended up with multiple restaurants. And, and then you see when you actually start giving away and you make a system, it's like the people are really thankful, but then you have a whole lot of food that's not going to waste, right? You're recovering something and making a purpose for it.
Yes. So tell me about Kids First campaign. What's going on? I know you're in phase one, right?
Yeah, we're in phase one. So for us, we were like, okay, here's a natural disaster. What's the best way for us to give back? And we looked at how everything was coming in and what everybody was focused on. And we said, you know what? We need to focus on the kids. These are kids. We just came off of Christmas. They just had everything in their house destroyed, all their Christmas presents, all their school books, all the things that they thought were important to them and comforting, right? So for us, we said, okay, we're going to concentrate on the kids. So we contacted IKEA. IKEA loved the idea, so did Home Depot. And then from there, 211 Los Angeles came aboard. Supervisor Hilda Solis's office came aboard to support. And it's just been a beautiful situation. So we're really looking forward to really helping families that were affected and supporting their children with essential need items.
That's fantastic. I want to let people know that 211 in L.A., they can just dial 211, or there's another number, 800-339-6993. It's a 24-hour service that connects people to social services, including health, human, and community resources. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Absolutely. Yeah, they are amazing. We've been working with 211 for a while now. And so it's they're really the real deal. They really help.
That's great.
I really like what they do.
That's great. So I want to dive into phase one. I know that IKEA, LA Stores, Burbank, Carson, Covina, and Costa Mesa, they're actually collection hubs, right?
Yes, they are collection hubs, and so is Main Place Mall in Santa Ana.
Okay, and what kind of things are you receiving?
Oh, so we're receiving toys, bicycles, backpacks, hygiene packages, school books, pencils, pads. A lot of just essential things that kids really need and that are comforting to them, even plush toys.
Oh, great. You know what? People love plush toys of all ages.
Yes.
I'm a witness to that here at UC Irvine. Like, you're never too old to have a stuffed animal.
Yeah, and you don't realize how comforting that is to a little kid that's lost everything.
Oh, I agree. I had told you briefly. So when I was 12, I had a house fire. It started in my room. And I remember telling the fireman, like, can you just get my Snoopy and my guitar? Oh, and my skateboard. I wanted my skateboard, too. And they were like, we're so sorry, you know. And I couldn't wrap my brain around that I was walking away with nothing, not even a toothbrush.
Yeah, see, that's just, I couldn't imagine. You know, I don't imagine how the parents feel, but don't imagine how the kid feels like, yeah. You know, because some of them can't comprehend it. Like you said, you couldn't comprehend the fact that you lost your skateboard.
No.
You know.
No. I know. And so I love what you're doing because it does provide comfort. And so it's basically geared towards ages 0 to 16?
0 to 16, yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so how can people get involved in this?
Okay, so getting involved in this first phase, you could absolutely stop by any of the 5 IKEA stores with a new item. In the lobby, there's a bin that they have where you can drop these items in. You could also go to powerofonefoundation.org and contact us directly. And we also have Supervisor Hilda Solis's office and 211 Los Angeles. So contact us. And someone will make sure that we help because we're helping on an individual basis. And then we'll also be having a resource fair in April for the families that were affected.
Fantastic. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Andre Robertson, founder and CEO of Power of One Foundation. He's got a great campaign going on called Kids First Campaign, Restoring Smiles for the Youngest Impacted by L.A. Wildfires. And so once this phase is finished, February 28th coming up, phase 2 begins. So that's the actual distribution, right?
Yeah, that's the actual direct distribution of families. So what we've done, we have First AME Church in Pasadena. We have other partners that are coming on by way of Supervisor Hilda Solis's office that are partnered with other agencies that are helping those that have been affected. So what we're going to look to do is take some of the first set of items that we have and reach families directly.
Great.
Right, directly to them and to these agencies. So that way we're not delaying all the beautiful stuff that we have donated. So we want to start getting it out right away and prepping for the resource fair.
That's great. And phase 3 is the resource fair, which you have scheduled for April 5th, right?
Yeah, so we have a resource fair that we're having at the IKEA store in Pasadena. That'll be for families that didn't necessarily hear about us while we were working with all these specific agencies. But then it'll be a citywide call for those that were affected to be able to show up that day to get kids essential resources.
That's fantastic. So as far as parents go, they must feel a sense of joy and relief when you are doing this because, you know, here, whether it's a bicycle or it's a backpack, this matters.
You know, yes, we've actually gotten great responses from parents. They're just like, oh, wow, so we didn't even think anybody was, you know, concentrating just on the kids. Where they're saying, well, there's a lot of stuff for adults, but we haven't really found anything for our kids. And we're like, well, no, that's what we're concentrating on. So we know that there's a lot of home items and there's a lot of other foundations out there doing amazing work to help the parents get reestablished.
Sure.
And we just felt, you know, to compliment all those other agencies and these families is, okay, here, we're going to concentrate on your kids. And it's gotten a great response.
Well, I'll tell you, and you probably already know this, another reason why this is great. Because you are also impacting their mental health. So I know how traumatic it can be to a degree to lose your home. But if kids were already impacted in other ways, the parents were impacted, whether it's financial, mental, physical, et cetera, by you doing this for their kids, that can make a huge difference in their trajectory.
Absolutely. And we really care about their mental health at that time. And like you said, we put ourselves in their shoes. And we already know that there were a lot of pre-existing mental health issues before the fires, right? So this could exacerbate those mental health issues.
Yes.
So that's where we really felt that we wanted to be that comforting agency.
No, it's great. It's great. And also, you know, here in Orange County, some people might think, well, you know, I want to get involved. I don't know how to get involved. I don't know if it's safe to go to different areas because, you know, sometimes we hear stories about whatever, the air quality. But, you know, people are so going and doing and helping, and that's great. But here in Orange County, you think, well, what can I do? Even if you don't have much time, but let's say you go in your, you know, garage and you've got a bunch of stuff brand new, don't let it go to waste, right? Reach
Absolutely.
Out to
Just, yeah. We're all about collaboration, so reach out to us here at Power of One Foundation, and we have somebody that will intake it, and we'll make sure that whatever you're donating gets to someone or a little kid that would be ecstatic to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do something.
Oh, that's great. How did you end up partnering with IKEA? How did that come about?
That came about in the pandemic when they partnered with us to do our curbside.
Right.
We came up with the curbside, and they started delivering all the food. We drive over with the truck, drop down, you know, 6 to 10 pallets.
Amazing.
The community would sign up and show up, and IKEA would do the work. And we're forever grateful to them, and also Home Depot, because there's also 11 Home Depot stores.
11.
Donating over 550 bikes. It was amazing. Started with one store, our store here in Orange with Melissa. We have two wonderful people that are managers at Home Depot, Melissa and Caitlin.
Shout out to them, by the way. Shout out to them.
They joined us during the pandemic as well.
Okay, Andre. Wait, I have a question, Andre. This is Sarah's question. Who put the bikes together?
The Home Depot staff. Now, that's the beautiful part about it.
Wow.
The Home Depot Foundation, they file for the grant to the Home Depot Foundation. The Home Depot Foundation approves it. They get the bikes in store, and then their staff volunteers to put them together. So that way when we give them to the kids, they're not in a box.
Thank goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
amazing.
Goodness.
Because before, when Home Depot came to us, I had to put them together. You know, like, oh, this is an adventure. I had my little... we had our neighbors that are going to college. We said, hey, we want to drop some bikes off in your backyard. Can you guys put these bikes together? They're for kids. And they were like, oh, we're stoked. We'll put them together.
Yeah. 17 hours later.
Well, yes.
I didn't even know Home Depot sold bikes.
No, they don't sell bikes. This is through a special program that they have.
Okay.
Where they go out and purchase the bikes.
That's amazing. I love
that. Oh, it's awesome.
Wow. I was trying to figure out, I've been in Home Depot many times. I haven't seen any bikes. Well, shout out to them and to you and your wife, because to establish this network and these relationships and, you know, people, we talked about this, people want kindness. They want compassion and connection, and they want to help one another.
Yes. Yes.
It's beautiful. Amazing.
Yeah, no, and please, again, We're just two normal people. We didn't do anything special for us. We took the ride and saw the miracle and saw all these people and the passion. We just started with the passion for it to want to do it. And then from there, like I said, we amassed over 800 volunteers and got some faithful volunteers that are still with us to this day. And, I mean, everybody just put their best in. It's like you talk collaboration.
Yes.
But when you talk it and then you see it, and it's on the free will of people, mm-hmm. that's where you're just like, okay, this is just awesome.
Yes. You know, and I see that in the work I do. I am a community partner with the Field Study Program here at UCI, and I do a lot of mental health activities and events for students to end mental health stigma, to have students feel comfortable talking about social anxiety. And we're doing things every week. It's amazing. And it brings such joy when you can see the impact that you're making, when you have an issue and you figure out a solution and you try it out and it works and you see the joy.
Yes. It makes it all worth it. And thank you so much for what you're doing. That is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. It's very meaningful. Again, it was started in the pandemic for me as well. Yeah.
Just planting the right seed, and then, you know, post-pandemic, it just like, okay, yeah, this is what I love to do. I want to see and find a way to grow this.
Yes.
And that's what we do.
One thing I will say, though, that I feel that a lot of people, and I know this from doing research, changed as a result of the pandemic. They realized perhaps they weren't happy, you know, where they were living or what they were doing or who they were with. And some found new beginnings and endings.
Yes.
And that's part of life. That's, you know, shifting and not necessarily going after a job because of the title, but working on yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it drew everybody down to like, what is really my passion? Who am I? What do I really want to do? Like,
yes.
Life is short. Like, it, you know, shutting down the country allowed everybody to really do introspective work, right?
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's endless. And just because we're post-pandemic, there's been a lot of struggles. There's people are still struggling with their mental health. So again, I appreciate all you are doing with Power of One Foundation. Is there anything you'd like people to know outside of what you're doing now as far as Power of One Foundation?
Absolutely. We have a Birthday Matters program for single mothers and fathers and orphan kids that would normally be able to have birthdays, so watch out for that. Continue to watch out for our community events because we produce some of the largest community events between Santa Ana, Costa Mesa, and into L.A.
Great.
And continue to just support our foundation and our work. And if there's anywhere where they'd like to collaborate or if they see somewhere where our foundation can grow, we're forever evolving and we're open to the community. We're a collaborative nonprofit. So
fantastic. I want to give out your website and where people can find you, powerofonefoundation.org. You're on Facebook, Power of One Foundation One, and Instagram, Power of One Foundation. So as you begin to wrap up phase one, what are some feelings coming up for you?
Actually, a lot of gratitude because, you know, when you start something, you don't know what kind of response you're going to get. Mm-hmm. You know that you have a good idea and the heart to do something. So right now it's gratitude because to have over 550 bikes, to have all the books and hygiene, and then having the partners that we do, that's where we're at. So going through phase one and being able to help these kids, right?
Yes.
And we have kids that actually we can help.
Yes.
So for us, it's gratitude.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you so much, Andre. I've really enjoyed this conversation. Keep me posted. And as things evolve, I'll have you back on.
Thank you so much for having me and inquiring about our foundation and putting our work out there. We really, really appreciate you, and we'd love to come back on.
Awesome. All right. Stand by. Don't hang up, and I'll be with you in just a moment. Thanks so much.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was Andre Roberson, founder and CEO of Power of One Foundation. If you missed any part of this conversation, it will be up as a podcast within an hour after I wrap. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.